Well, sweetheart, how are you? I just thought I'd get around to writing that tape like I said it was the last week or so now. I got a little card from you today with my first sausage since I've been back from leave, and I thank you very much. I devoured the sausage very instantaneously. I don't even remember looking at it. It was pretty good, I have to admit. So thank you. And yeah, I was kind of worried about you. I haven't got any mail from you for 4 days until I got this card, and then, of course, my worries are over because you said you hadn't written. I thought, you know, usually the times you don't write are when you're not feeling good or something's going on. Your card didn't indicate that you were feeling bad, and something was going on. I guess you were over Jackie's, but that only took care of 1 day. I don't know what happened to the other three, but I went 4 days without mail. That's not very good. It's not very good. And, the only time you don't get any mail is when you're not feeling good. And then you go 4 days without it. You get to thinking all kinds of bad thoughts. But I'm squared away now. I read your card, and I love you, baby. I miss you. But I guess I don't know what I'm going to say for two sides of this tape. I don't know, but, we'll go ahead and think of something, I think. Right now, I don't know what you can hear in the background. Probably a lot of a generator, maybe, and people beating on the walls. There goes somebody up the steps now. I'm right in the hangar. I'm on a night standby at this time. Of course, by the time you read this tape, I won't be on night standby anymore, but we got a flare mission standby, 30-minute standby, and I'm in the hangar now. Jesus, I don't have to wait till this thing goes. Okay, I'm back. Noise is over now. I guess I played the tape back and didn't sound too bad through it. Somebody walking up the stairs. There they go again. Seems to me I'm having a lot of trouble here. I might have to move to a different room. But as you can probably guess, I'm sitting at the base of the steps making this tape in the hangar. Right now it is about 9:15 on 13th of May, Thursday. I've got 199 days left. I'm in the 100s now. I'm no longer in the 200s or the 300s, but now in the 100s. Another 99 days and I'll be... or another 100 days, and I'll be in the double-digit fidget. Less than 100 days, but it'll be a while yet, I guess. Yeah, let's see now. 15 more days, and I'll have exactly 6 months in country. 15 more days is also our wedding anniversary. 15 more days is also my sister's birthday. So 15 days, the 28th of May, is a pretty big day. Pretty big day. And 28th. Yeah, pretty big day. So far, I haven't gotten anything for the wedding anniversary, because what I'm thinking about doing is celebrating that on R&R, where I can personally give you what I have in mind. And another reason that I don't want to get you anything on this particular anniversary is because I can't find anything or what I've got in mind in any catalog or anything that I want to give you. So I would much rather make a personal presentation anyway. I hope you understand. And it won't be an empty day or anything like that, though. I've got something planned, but the anniversary gift will be delayed somewhat. And I'll come up with something there in R&R, and that should be real nice. We, like I said in the letter I wrote you yesterday, we'll spend the whole 5 or 6 days, whatever I got there, just celebrating something. First day we'll celebrate the anniversary, the second day your birthday, the third day my birthday, the fourth day, whatever, I don't know what I was. So, I'm tired. I guess I could kind of tell you what's going on here. This is the first time I've written a tape since I've been back from leave, or since I've been a platoon leader, I guess. So, I don't know if you really know what I'm doing or not. I tried to explain it in a letter, but it takes too long to write it out longhand, and I've got so much time here on the tape to use anyway. I just go ahead and let you know what I'm doing. Basically, what I'm doing is running one half of the flying potential of the company, or tactical portion of the company. We've got company has 16 aircraft, and there's two flight platoons. I've got the second flight platoon, so I've got 8 of the aircraft. I also have all of the crews for those 8 aircraft in my platoon, so that's 16 pilots and 24 crew members, and I have a driver, a truck driver, and a platoon sergeant. So it's 26 enlisted men, 16 officers. And my light truck driver's for the Jeep I'm supposed to have, but I don't have a Jeep. Instead, I've got a 3/4-ton truck and a deuce, you know, a 2.5-ton truck. And I got my 16 aircraft. And when I get up in the morning, I come out here and I just kind of sit in the office looking official. And actually, the platoon role in this company is more than I've ever seen in any company before. It's not that I'm a platoon leader and see it from a different light. It actually is a greater job here. The company commander is a very difficult man to work for. And he doesn't really believe in relying on his NCOs to do his work. He wants the officers' fingertips getting dirty in every single aspect of running his particular section of the company. And therefore, he ever asks you a question and you don't know the answer when it's concerning your platoon, he gets mad about it, or if he brings policy down or anything else, which is a normal function of a platoon leader, I can buy. But he actually wants us to get out there and you know, supervise the actual working on the aircraft and bypass the function of the platoon sergeant. But I still try not to do this as much as possible. I still try to let the platoon sergeant do, you know, give him some slack and let him run the platoon. But I do involve myself more than generally you see in a unit, or any unit I've been in anyway. The platoon leader in the 177 didn't do anything. He was just a figurehead, and he wrote the officers' OERs. And not only do I write OERs for the officers here, but I actually approve passes and leaves for all the people in my platoon. I approve them days off. I tell them when they've got to fly and when they can't fly. I tell them when they got to work on an aircraft and when they don't have to work on an aircraft. I approve their 3-day R&Rs to Da Nang and their 1-day trip to the beach on Sundays and everything. I just got interrupted by a whole bunch of people running down the steps, so I stopped it, went out and found out what was going on, and then I came back to the tape, and I guess I had to run it back to find out what I was talking about. But as far as what I do, I also, any time that any enlisted member or officer member, for that matter, needs counseling or disciplinary action or what have you, promotions, awards and decorations, I'm the one to personally take an interest and take care of this sort of thing. So I learned many facets of personnel management that I haven't been involved with before and always had theories on, and now I'm, you know, trying them out. But it doesn't seem to be that bad. So I guess that kind of, I hope that gives you an idea of what I do, but I spend my time around every day, and I go out and check each aircraft every day and shoot the bull with the enlisted crews. Mostly the enlisted people is my responsibility. The officers generally take care of themselves. But they go out and check around and make sure that all their paperwork is correct, and when they get in a fight with a maintenance officer, I have to, you know, stick up for my boys and settle for the, you know, try to find a settlement of some sort, and so on and so forth. When I've got details to do or projects, platoon projects, I get the people for them and organize this and that and so forth. So that's what I do all day long. It is interesting work, but it is tiring. This morning, for instance, well, you know, I'm working a lot harder than I used to. This morning, I was a launch officer, and our flight line is so far from our company area, it requires an individual to get up in the morning, wake everybody up, and make sure they get transportation to the mess hall and transportation out to the company area, and make sure the aircraft get off on time, which is 7 o'clock. And that generally starts at 4 in the morning. You got to get off the officers up at 4:30, and they load the trucks at 5, go to the mess hall, finish eating at 5:30, and then we drive them out to the flight line and get to the flight line about 5:40, and the pre-flight an hour prior to starting, and you start the aircraft at 6:40 for a 7 o'clock takeoff. So my day started at 4 o'clock this morning, and here it is. I worked all day as a, you know, a platoon leader, and now I'm flying tonight or on standby to fly tonight in case they need a flare ship, which is fairly safe duty, I have to admit. You climb up very, very high and kick out flares and light up the world underneath you, and that's all it amounts to. So that's my day, and tomorrow I'm scheduled to fly, so I'm going to have to get somebody else to take the platoon tomorrow while I'm out flying around. And that's what I do. So, I don't know, yeah, I hope you got something out of that. Each day is pretty much the same. I have certain functions, like, well, these little special projects of mine. For instance, there's a requirement to clean the engines of the aircraft every day that they fly, and the way you clean these engines is squirt water up in front of the intakes for the engine to draw the water into the engine, and 2 to 4 gallons per hour or per minute for a 2 to 4 minute period. So you want to put 2 or 3, 4 gallons of water through each engine, And we used to have this on a 55-gallon drum in the back of a truck with a pump on it, and we'd drive the truck around to the revetments that the aircraft parked in. But the aircraft come and go all during times of day, and it tied our truck up. So I had to design, or I thought of, and did in fact design a different method of cleaning engines. And I got a pad with a 400-gallon tank installed next to the pad with a very long hose and a pump, and then the aircraft land on that pad, wash their engines, pick off that pad and go to a revetment. And that way the vehicle's not tied up, it's ground-mounted, and all the aircraft can come and go as they please. If the vehicle's gone, they still can get their engines washed because it's a permanent installation. So that was one of my projects. Another project was building a flare bunker. We have to have a bunker to put the flares in since we took over the flare missions, and we had no bunker, so we built a bunker, and that was one of my projects. Plus breaking down flares out of their pallets and putting in a usable condition so we can load them onto the aircraft. Designing a cart to load the flares on so it'd be easy to load and unload the aircraft by just driving the cart up inside. Little bitty things like that are my little jobs. We got a move coming up here to Da Nang within the next 30 days probably. And we'll move we've all been long waiting for and hoping for, because Da Nang is not very much different than Long Bend. It's a very large post, and they got paved roads and nice buildings and things like that down there. So we get back into luxury again, a little bit more luxury than here anyway. Plus we'll have PSP type revetments and everything for aircraft right on the airstrip instead of on a mountaintop or a little hilltop that we're parked on now. Won't be any dust or any of this other crap you get here at Camp Eagle. And planning for this move, I'm responsible to move my platoon and all the equipment and people in the platoon and their personal effects. I've got my two trucks and my aircraft to do this with, but I also have to use my aircraft to move the rest of the company. So I've got to come up with loading plans and all this other things for my particular platoon, and then get them to use the aircraft for everybody else's platoons. So that's kind of what the project's going now. I've got to kind of figure something out on this. Then of course each day your problems come and go. You get a guy that doesn't want to get up in the morning, so you got to send him to the first sergeant and get somebody to replace him, and then you got to counsel him and all this other business. That's kind of what I do all day long. So that gives you an idea. And here I haven't even used, I've told you everything that's gone on for the last month, I guess, a little over a month. Well, it's been exactly a month today that I've had the platoon, and I'm not only on the first side of the tape, so I don't know what to say to finish it. I'm going to go up and find out the status of the standby. It's 9:30 now, and I'll be right back to you, sweetheart. Okay, I'll be right back to you. Okay, I'm back, and you didn't even know I was gone, did you? I went up to check, see if I was flying tomorrow, which I was, and by the scheduling officer just called and changed it, so I don't have to fly tomorrow after all. So, and I feel kind of good about it because I'm really tired right now. I've been up awful early this morning. So, I don't have to fly tomorrow. Whoopoo, whoopee. I think I'll take the day off tomorrow. My assistant platoon leader's not flying either, so I think I'll just give him the platoon and take the day off. Yeah. Well, it is now 12 hours later. It is 9 o'clock in the morning on the, today's the 14th. So, what happened last night is when you heard that brip, and when I just finished talking, the aircraft commander of the aircraft I was on came down and said we'd been released. We could go back to the house. So I just, you know, shut everything off, went, jumped in the Jeep and got back here, and then, of course, the room was full of people. So I didn't do any more on the tape until this morning, but I did, in fact, tell my assistant platoon leader that the platoon was his today, and I am taking the day off. So here I am in the morning in my own room here, just climbed out of bed, and I'm going to attempt to finish this tape. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know if I've ever, I guess since I haven't had a tape, I've never really described my living condition except in the letters. And letters, like I say, hand gets tired if you get too flowery with your description. So I'm going to, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I'm just going to have to think it. So, I could, I guess, give you a day. This is the first day off I've had since I've been a platoon leader, a full day. I'm taking a chance here, taking a full day off. So, I'm going to go ahead and give it a try and see what happens. And, the old man's already, you know, come in this morning and discover that I've taken the day off, but he didn't say anything, so I guess it's alright. But I feel guilty when I do stuff like this, so that's why I kind of get worried about it, you know. But I'm so close to the end of this tape that I'm just going to kind of rattle on like this until I get over it, and when I get on the other side, I'll cover something constructive. Since, well, I don't know what to tell you. I've been writing letters more often than I did before, I think. I'm real sincere about getting one out every night. Every now and then I miss one. This week's been a good example of that. But I'm really trying, and by doing so, I've told you just about everything that's going on. And you don't think I've told you anything. Well, that's what's going on, nothing. So I'll try to fill up the other side of tape somehow, but we'll see how. Somehow it's not as easy as down south. I guess I didn't have as much swimming and handball and everything to do up here, so I guess that's what I sent most of my tapes about. But I'm going to go ahead and turn this thing over. It looks like it's getting ready to quit, so I'll see you on the other side.